Hey everybody, welcome to the Snapcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Chris.
Man, I almost feel like I don't remember how to do this. So welcome back everybody after the holidays. We got lots to talk about for the news section just because Rob was out and about. We tried to do a remote podcast. You may have noticed that didn't come to fruition, but you know, what are you going to do? You try something new, sometimes it doesn't work. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But first, before we do anything else, because it's kind of short notice, we got a big contest going on. So the banned and restricted list is coming out. It'll be out on the Monday following the release of this cast. So not tomorrow, but the next Monday. For us, for the listeners, next Monday. So what we're doing is we want you to go to our Facebook page, and we're real interested to hear what you think is going to happen with Stoneforge Mystic. The reason we're so particular about Stoneforge Mystic is we have one to give away to you guys. So how this is going to work is head over to the page, just give us a short blurb on why you think it's going to be banned still or why you think it's going to come off the ban list. Once the announcement comes out, we're going to pick one. Do you guys want to do random or should we do best? Well thought out opinion.
Ooh. I like best. I'm okay with that. Yeah. I like to read opinions.
We'll do best opinion. And by best, I mean it's not going to be like you don't have to go write a diatribe up on there. But just, you know, throw some thoughts on there why you think it will or won't happen. We'll pick one of the right responses that we like and we'll ship out a Stoneforge Mystic to you.
And then, you know what? I feel like we still got a couple more life pads. We'll pick two guys at random, too. We'll send out some other little Snapcast packs out to you guys.
Yeah, definitely. We'll throw some extra bonuses in there, some of those life pads, some other stuff we got hanging out here. But all right, cool. So now we got that away. What's been going on with you guys, man? I haven't seen you guys in forever.
All right. So Chris and I both went to a double IQ series up in D.C. area, one in Centerville and one in Springfield, Modern and Legacy.
Nice.
I top aided both of them.
Yeah. I heard about that. That's awesome, dude. Good job, man. So what were you running for both events?
Modern, I was doing Ad Nauseam to nobody's surprise.
Yeah.
Well, to everyone's surprise up there, I still had, I had three total guys in Swiss that just didn't know what I was doing, and I won those matches. And
yeah, go figure.
Just another proven point of if people don't know what jank you're doing, you're going to win games.
Yeah. As long as the jank works, which that deck, I mean, it's pretty solid, especially with you handling it, man. You do a good job with it. What about Legacy? What'd you run in Legacy?
I ran Shardless Sultai, and I clearly had the most expensive deck in the top eight. it wasn't even close. Like, the price range on my deck versus the next closest one, which was, I'm pretty sure it was Temur Delver.
Oh, yeah. So what, lots of Delver and Burn and stuff in top eight, or?
There were two Delver decks. The all-in red deck, the cheapest deck up there, was a surprise that caught everyone. He was the guy I lost to in not only Swiss, but the top eight as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a deck that I just don't have anything for. There was the one Elves player who hit top eight, and we ended up seeing a Reanimator deck and Storm also in the top eight.
Wow, nice. Yeah, that's good. I mean, it sounds like a pretty good, like, healthy format up there. I mean, I know you said it's a bit inbred in their meta.
Yeah, they're all playing against each other consistently, so they've got board cards for each other.
Yeah, but I mean, no, that's awesome, dude. Good turnout there, Chris. Not so hot for you up there.
I did good in the beginning with my boggles, and, you know, it's like once I get that one loss. Actually, I recovered for one or two games, but I couldn't squeeze into the top eight. And then Elves, I mean, it realistically is a hard deck, so I'm still just learning to play it. Yeah. But I had fun. We made one dude go full salt because he was mad that I hard cast a Craterhoof Behemoth.
Nice.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That guy was upset.
Yeah.
He's like, this guy casted Craterhoof straight out of his hand. I'm like, well, dude, he's playing Elves.
Yeah.
The guy is crazy.
Turns out they generate mana. You know, you got ways to do it. It's not far fetched, really.
Yeah. We were ready to hang some hams by the time he was done.
Oh, man. That's awesome. So, because, you guys crashed up there Saturday night, right? And then just hit the other one on Sunday?
Yep.
Yeah, my mom lives in the area, so if, you know, it's just a couple of guys, she's got a big enough place.
We can
stay on the floor, save some money, and she cooks pretty well. So we got done playing the Modern event. We went and had some good, you know, chicken Alfredo.
Nice.
Chris's mom, official Snapcast mom.
Yes, mom, nice. I dig it. So what about you, Rob? I know you were out and about, too.
Yep, I went on my massive open excursion. I went out to Cincinnati for the first Modern Open of the year and what is now the largest Modern Open.
I saw that.
We had 1,022 players there. Star City was overwhelmed, to say the least. They were not anticipating that. You could tell because they didn't have enough of their new promo playmat to give away.
Oh, wow.
But they did offer up, though, that you could get your voucher like verified. Uh-huh. They put some weird Star City stamp on it. And then if you went to Charlotte, you could get one there with that same card. Or if you go to the Star City Game Center, you can get one. Or if you mail it, as long as you paid for shipping, then they will send you one as well.
Hmm.
But no, I ran. I ended up running my Temur Infect list that I've been playing on Magic Online with, and it did well. I ran into some bad matchups against Merfolk, a Tron guy who was living in Magical Christmas Land, and then against a Naya Zoo deck. And ended up scrubbing out at 2-3. But
yeah, what are you going to do?
Right. It was a good weekend. The Mulligan train was hard. That's really why I quit playing after round 5. It's just that third straight game in a row of mauling to 5 and not catching infect creatures and trying to go beats by Noble. It really doesn't work too well.
Yeah, it definitely wears on you after a while, that's for sure. Yeah, so I mean, so then that Rob tried to do a remote cast, I guess is what we could call it.
Yeah, we tried to do a cast from the hotel room with the people that I went with, and we tried to call on Alex, and we just had some technical difficulties in that, getting everything figured out, and I just inexperienced with running the show. As you guys know, Bobby's the main one that runs it, but he's trying to teach me, and I failed the teacher.
I mean, it was one of those situations where our options were either just have no cast or to just try this. And he didn't really have enough time with the program and stuff beforehand, so it wasn't a huge, huge surprise. I mean, there's tons of things that can go wrong, so one of them did, and what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's see. What do we got going on for news here? Because we've got full spoilers up now. Have you guys all had a chance to take a look at this?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty pretty spicy so far. Anything sticking out to you that we haven't talked about already?
I would like to talk about a Reality Smasher. Like, not only is the name of that card just fantastic.
Yeah, pretty solid.
It is a four generic, one colorless Eldrazi. It is a 5/5 with Trample and Haste. So it's already got the super dragon stats that we all want.
Yeah, pretty solid.
And whenever it becomes the target of a spell, counter that spell unless the opponent discards a card.
Yeah.
So it's always a 2-for-1. It curves right off your Siege Rhino. So in Abzan aggro, they're going to want to play this over the Wingmate Rock for much harder aggressive game.
Yeah.
And you can produce the colorless mana with your Llanowar Wastes and Caves of Koilos. This card will be a powerhouse in Standard. I think it is the premier 5 drop.
Yeah. No, I mean, it looks really good. I definitely was impressed when I saw it posted up. And yeah, you've been talking about it all morning. So, got a pretty good feeling about it. Anything else you guys see on the spoiler list that's been sticking out to you?
Nothing really on the cards we've already covered. The man lands, I think, are pretty sweet.
Yeah. The red-blue one actually turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah, and even the other ones aren't too terrible. The green-black one's pretty good. And I want to say the one I was actually let down the most by was the red and green one. I was expecting a little bit more out of it. It just seems too expensive.
You mean red and white?
Red and white.
There we go. Okay. What was the red-white one? I don't even think I've seen that one yet.
Needle Spire. Let me pull that up real quick.
Yeah, no rush. But yeah, I mean, overall, I like the blue-red one a lot. Oh, you got it. What you got on it?
All right, so Needle Spire. It's, enter the battlefield, tap to add a red or a white. And it costs 4 to activate it. 2 generic, a red and a white. And Needle Spire becomes a 2/1 elemental with double strike until end of turn.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. I'm surprised I forgot it. But it's just, it's fine, right? I mean,
I just want to point out, the blue-red manland has an infinite combo.
Oh, yeah?
Already.
All right, well, let's get to that in just a second. I mean, the red-white one, like, and maybe we'll see some in Standard, I guess, if it slots in. It's a real low-cost kind of thing, if there's a deck for it, but
Where I see this being well is American Control and the use of Awaken. Because you put those +1/+1 counters on any land. So now you put those +1/+1 counters on Needle Spire, and you can just boost it so much. Well, I mean, you got Scattered Winds.
That's a good point.
You've got the White Awaken spell, the Board Wipe. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my hand.
Planar Outburst.
So, I mean, you got plenty of spells to boost that to just abuse the double strike. But by itself, which is how I'm trying to look at these cards, just a card as the card
in
itself.
In a vacuum, not very impressive. But you raise a great point, though, because with this mechanic of Awaken right now in Standard, giving it double strike, you really can't give it much power because, I mean, there's already room to abuse it that way right now, and it would only get infinitely worse if this thing like a 3 or a 4 power creature. So it kind of makes sense. I think outside of this set and outside of Standard, it kind of gets the bad end of the stick, so it's probably not going to see much play anywhere else. But in an American control deck, that might be a pretty good finisher. So, Jerry, what do you got with this infinite combo with this blue-red man land? This is such a
funny thing. So, all right, when I looked at the card, it has a 0-mana activated ability. So you can already activate this ability infinitely.
Yeah, so like, okay, so this is so it was much room to be broken.
Yep, much room to be broken. And the card I came across was Ceaseless Seerblades. It is a Lorwyn Uncommon, 2/4 for 4, 3 colorless, 3 generic and a red. Whenever a creature activates an ability, it gets +1/+0 until the end of turn. Okay. So you just infinitely power it up and swing with a massive infinite whatever.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
That easy.
Yeah. And with the 2/4 body on it, I mean, that takes it out of bolt range, which is going to be, you know, your top removal in Modern.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it does, like, it passes the Modern test in that, yeah, you swing it in as a, because it starts as a 4/2, right?
What?
The man land?
It starts as a 1/4.
1/4, yep. That's right, and you could switch to a 4/1, yeah.
You'll never attack with the land itself. It'll just charge up the Ceaseless Seerblade.
But, I mean, even in a vacuum, though, just as a finisher in blue-red or in, you know, in twin for the longer, grindier games, swing in for 4 attack to go to bolt it, switch it back. I mean, like, you know, it plays defense duty pretty well. Like, it's a pretty good all-around man land on its own, so... I was actually kind of surprised. I thought the red-blue one was going to be the most nerfed of them all just because it's so powerful and Modern, but...
I honestly thought it was going to have, like, a built-in loot effect. But
yeah,
a lot of people
were guessing
like
on the
people
loot.
Were already specking the red-white one was going to have double strike, and we kind of figured the black-green one was going to have some type of death touch effect. Right. We all figured that, but we didn't see the switch coming. Like,
yeah,
nobody saw that coming.
Well, and it was solid because, yeah, it's one that I don't think anyone would have guessed, but it does feel very... Is it... Like in nature. So, you know, it's goofy and wonky. The name is absurd. What is the name of that card? The Wunderloop? It just feels like... I thought I was seeing the German version of the spoiler when that card was first spoiled. I was like, this isn't the American name, right?
Oh, you're talking the red-green?
No, the red-blue one.
Oh, the red-blue. Wandering Fumarole?
Yeah, it's Fumarole. Yeah, that's right.
Wandering Fumarole.
We had to look... you had to look up what
Wandering Fumarole.
All I know is it's something volcanic.
Yeah, I'm sure it makes sense, but yeah, when I saw that name, I'm like, oh, okay, I have to find a translation. Oh, no, the rest is in English. Okay, never mind. That's a real word. But yeah, so, I mean, the mainlands are looking, you know, meh overall. The red-blue one, that's definitely going to be a pretty good, you know, modern target, yeah. And I'm sure they'll all see probably at least some play in Standard, just depending on what the mana-based situations turn out to be. I mean... With losing fetch lands once rotation hits, then maybe we'll see the man land see play if we don't get the other fetch lands in. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. None of them are like shining stars, though, right? I mean,
none of them are real stars. The black-green one at least keeps the shambling vent bumping head metagame from continuing. Like, that, it breaks that. So
yeah,
that's
true.
Good news.
Yeah. So, I mean, so we'll see what happens with these. But yeah, so for anyone who hasn't checked them out, though, the full spoiler list is up now. I mean, unfortunately, that full spoiler drop from, you know, December, late December, the leak, rather, kind of gave away a lot of it already. So, you know, we fill in the commons and uncommons. But overall, I mean, I feel pretty good about this set. You guys, I mean, on the same page, like, it feels like a pretty... like
yeah,
fulfilling set.
I mean, better than Battle, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go, is it seems better than Battle, and if it's any indication of what they're going to be doing from now on, I like that we have actually 182 cards to play with, and not 162 cards and 20 land.
That is true, yeah. It's a pretty big set. I mean, because what is this considered? Is it a small set, a big set? I mean...
The smaller sets were only, what, around 160-ish? 150?
It's because now we're going into two set blocks. Smaller sets are slightly bigger.
Yeah. So it's cool to see that change. And I mean, it's definitely giving us enough cards to see several directions to go with. So definitely be interested to see how this plays out. But what else we got on the news? Oh, yeah, we got the oaths and the spoilers. We haven't talked about those yet. Those have been around a while, though. I think people have probably seen these. Nissa's oath seemed pretty good. Jace's oath seemed meh.
I mean, it's mm-hmm. card filtration that triggers your Jace Vryn's Prodigy real quickly.
That's true. That's true.
Chandra's Oath was
meh.
Yeah, a bit of a letdown. And
well,
then
that's just Chandra
the,
now.
I think the stars are the Oath of Gideon and the Oath of Nyssa.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oath of Gideon.
I like Nyssa's a lot. And then Gideon's, yeah, is also really good.
Nyssa's is a green ponder that I don't think should exist, but all right, sure. Green's getting all the good stuff these days.
Yeah, green is feeling very blue nowadays. I don't know what is going on in the design room, but they've like, oh, we've nerfed blue, but we have all these good ideas for cards. Like, I don't give it a green. It kind of makes sense. Life is springing, like, whatever. Sure, people are out meditating in the woods getting ideas, whatever. But so now let's go down some of these news items, though, because we've got quite a few on here, and I want to make sure we get to them. The biggest one was the shakeup at Star City Games with BBD being dropped from, like, the Star City team. I mean, that's, like, I don't think anyone saw that coming, right? I guess, so January comes around, they renew contracts for the year. And BBD's is not renewed.
I kind of saw it coming, because if you look in the last year, it's, he wasn't a big finisher like he was the year before. You know, we were seeing him in consistent top eights and stuff like that. And I just think it was a rougher year for him this year.
Yeah, I can see that.
He focused a lot on GPs, though. He did well there, and he did win an Open this year.
Yes.
The problem with being attached to Star City Games in particular is that when you have to choose between a PPTQ and a Star City Games IQ, Star City expects you to go to the IQ. So
I can see that.
Your Wizards of the Coast Pro Tour events are less on a priority than, say, Star City Games Invitational events.
And he was trying to get on the Pro Tour.
Yes, that is his
He said goal. Last year that was his main goal, was to get on the Pro Tour this year.
Yeah, it is kind of a weird spot because you do... I mean, it's not a coincidence that most of the Star City guys are not Pro Tour competitors. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, it's so hard to grind both circuits. And obviously there's some overlap and some of them are, but for the most part... Yeah, like you said, they're going to stick to your Star City Game opens, IQs, and events like that. But there had to be something going on behind the scenes just as far as maybe his articles not drawing a lot of people or not getting enough clicks. I mean, I felt like performance-wise, he was fine. I wouldn't think he was dropped because of performance. So it must be that he's just not drawing people in. But that seems hard to believe. His articles have always
been good. I don't see that because everyone said he was one of their favorite. I mean... I remember looking at one of his pages and afterwards, and everyone's like, good, now there's only Tom Ross there. Way to go, Star City. Like, it seems like the mass majority of people are upset that they let BBD go.
I think it was maybe more of a career move on his choice. He doesn't want to... A lot of these players in the past year, like Reed Duke, any other big-name players left Star City that went for Channel Fireball, they all seem to be migrating away from Star City because... They don't advocate so much for the Pro Tour as they do their own product.
I will say that per B, I just forgot his initials, BVD, it was not his choice.
No.
Yeah, it was not his choice.
He posted on Facebook about it, and it was kind of sudden. Yeah, he seemed pretty surprised by it. Yeah, so, I mean, we don't know, and obviously, like, there's also that weird effect where no one reads your articles, and then as soon as it's announced you're going, everybody misses you. So this outcry from people we see might be people that weren't actually read. I mean, we don't know. We have no way of really guessing, but it's a shame overall. I mean, I like BBD a lot as a player. I like him as a writer. So,
and he was good with those videos, too. I watched a lot of those Versus videos that they had.
Yeah, and they tried to, like, they pushed the Versus live events at events for a while, and it seemed like that just kind of stopped. I guess maybe that just wasn't a draw.
That stopped around the same time that CVM moved out west, because his main BBD
CVM.
That's
true,
he did do a few with Brad Nelson and Todd Anderson as well, but it looks like we're mainly going to have Brad Nelson, Tom Ross, and Todd Anderson being the ones who do the Versus videos for us. And, I mean, they're still all great quality players. It's just I liked hearing the perspective from BBD. And even back when I was following CVM, I did enjoy hearing some of his takes on different builds, and that mainly in Standard.
Yeah. Well, so that, what you got, Chris?
And even I just liked him as a person. If you ever saw him at any of the events, you could walk up and talk to him. And it was never, you know, this like snide type of interaction. No, he sat there and talked to you like he enjoyed people saying, hey, what you do means something to me. You know, you're the reason why I'm doing this. And you felt like at the end, like, I just talked to a genuine person. Hey, can you sign my mat? Thank you. I really enjoy you.
Yeah. Yeah, but so bringing up the Versus videos provides a sweet segue here, though, because the other shakeup is we've got CVM doing commentary now. And that's going on right now while we're recording, right?
Yeah.
He's doing the Modern Open.
Yep, he's down in Charlotte right now.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So is it him and Cedric? Is that the team?
No, no, it's not even him and Cedric. It's him and another off name too.
Huh, okay. Well, I mean, we'll see how that goes, but obviously, you know, we talked about before Patrick Sullivan leaving, and that's a big blow. And it'll be interesting to see now what they do with Cedric, because now if Cedric isn't commentating, then what? Like, what's going on?
Have you seen the old videos with Patrick Chapin commentating, though?
Uh-uh.
Oh, so they're funny. I listened to one with Shaheen Serrani and Patrick Chapin. It was like watching Mexican soccer. It was awesome. Like, nice. It was real energetic. Yeah. Oh, he played a forest!
This weekend it's Chris Van Meter and Andrew Boswell are the commentators from Charlotte.
I mean, I'm fine with both of them. I'm just not fine with them together. It seems like you would want Cedric, like a veteran guy, in there with one of them.
To help guide them.
Yeah, they're really turning the leashes loose on this guy. So
yeah, Cedric was there last weekend. Cedric was there last weekend in Cincy, and he had some other new name with him also. I can't remember the guy's name.
I mean, we'll probably see a lot of that. A lot of kind of rotating guys in and out right now before they settle on another guy. And, I mean, maybe this will end the era of, you know, the two big names every weekend. I mean, I know they had Matthias Hunt that would kind of rotate in and out. But for the most part, it was Cedric and Pat all the time. But, you know, maybe Pat's leaving means that now they're just going to try sort of like what Channel Fireball and some of the other guys do, where they just rotate pros in or rotate big players in. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. I do think Cedric should be there to kind of guide them, but what are you going to do? So maybe we'll get some sweet highlights and bloopers from this weekend, or maybe they'll do great. We'll see. So let's see. Going down on here, we've got some prices that we've been keeping an eye on too, changing, which I want to slot in here with Inquisition of Kozilek. That was just as of, 2 days ago, 3 days ago?
Two days ago, this week. Yeah.
Yeah, so about midweek around Wednesday, all of a sudden Inquisition just shoots up. And it was the day that the full spoiler was released for the new set. Turns out a lot of people, I guess, were specking on Inquisition being reprinted. Did we really think that was going to happen, though?
Absolutely not. We just got out of Thoughtseize world. I don't think they're going to put us back into one mana awesome hand rip spells. Like, it just doesn't bode well for Standard.
I mean, I will say Inquisition, like, they said they didn't reprint it because of concerns in the play environment and Standard environment. But 3 CMC or less, that's too good for Standard?
Yes. What it does is, say, in Abzan Aggro Mirrors, you ended up ripping out, you know, Hangerbacks. You have the new spoiler, the new Elvish Warrior with all upside that's super good. They got spoiled by Evan Irwin.
Yeah.
There's just a lot that can happen. You rip out Manus Rider for one mana.
That's true. And, I mean, no life cost associated with it like Thoughtseize. So, I mean, anyway, so the price, though, has gone up now. They were about $13-$14 bucks. Right now they're sitting about $35.
That's insane.
Yeah, which is probably the biggest one-day spike we've seen in a while for a card. I mean, it's been a minute before we've seen something increase that quickly. So that kind of paints a bad picture. I mean, Modern over the last, when I first started getting into Modern, it felt like Thoughtseize was more prevalent than Inquisition. And over the last, year, year and a half, 2 years, I've seen Inquisition become higher and more played than Thoughtseize. Usually with, 4-2 split and heavy hand disruption decks, things like that. So, I mean, Inquisition's a 4 of in a lot of decks right now. And, I mean, it's a heavily demanded card, and there's not many of them floating around there. An interesting pickup for anyone listening who wants to get into Modern, if you can find the Modern event decks, they're usually floating around $60, and they have 2 Inquisitions in them. So
yep.
The deck's kind of free right now, so to speak, so might not be a horrible pickup if you're interested in that. It's kind of based around the Black-White Tokens build. But other than that, I mean, we saw Ensnaring Bridge has been on the rise. Painful Truth has been on the rise. Stoneforge Mystic is a big one. That was about $22, right, Rob?
Yeah, it's about 20 or 22, and then it started to spike as we after the GP announcement of it being the promo, because people were speculating, oh, well, if they're making it the promo, it's potentially going to get unbanned, which we'll get to that later. And then, yeah, it finally settled out. It's around $41 right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the effect. And this one is a dangerous one for speculating just because it's entirely contingent on this ban list coming out.
Yep.
We're going to be talking about that in the second segment. I didn't tell people that at the beginning, but oh, well, they'll figure it out. But it's entirely contingent on this ban list, so this is one where if you really think it's going to get unbanned, buy in, because even at this high price, it's probably going to go up to $60-$70 if it comes off.
Easily.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. It slots into a lot of decks. It enables control decks. I mean, it would be real interesting to see what happens. So, but then, of course, the flip side is, yeah, if it stays on the ban list, it's probably going to go back down to 20, 21, 22. So, I don't know. I mean, like I said, we've got one floating around. We'd love to send you out to you guys. Hopefully, we'll be sending you out a $60, $70 card. Yeah. But we'll see. Maybe it might just be a $20, $21 card. But we are coming up on time. Was there any other news items you guys wanted to get in real quick before we move on?
No, I don't have anything else.
I just wanted to mention real quickly the Eldrazi Black deck that's been picking up.
Yeah.
With the exception of Inquisitions rising in price, the deck itself is relatively affordable. And it maintains its Tron-like aspect without so many of the negative side effects that Tron had in it not being able to just have a threat in hand. This deck's threats aren't completely game-ending like Tron's, but it is a real deck. It is a real contender, and it was very interesting to play against, to say the least.
That's what Alex has an article about, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. We, Tap House Issue 3 went up Wednesday.
Yep, so if you go navigate to that, you can check out Alex's list. We beat Star City to the punch. We're very proud of that because yeah. It was Jerry Thompson, right? You said the day after?
No, Jerry Thompson posted on Friday. We beat Star City by 2 days.
Nice.
And it could have been sooner, but it was just coming back from Cincy. I was the one in charge of putting it on the website, and I was just swamped with work and everything else.
It happens. Tough editing schedules here at the Snapcast. Very demanding. But yeah, so take that, Star City Games. We got you by 2 whole days. Timestamps prove it. What are you going to do? But all right, so we're going to move to a break here. We'll be right back to talk about the banned and restricted list. All right, welcome back, everybody. So for this segment, we are going to be talking about the upcoming banned and restricted list. We are mostly going to be focusing on Modern just because that's where we think the most action is going to be. But, you know, we're including some Legacy ideas here, too. Before we get started in this segment, we have a game that we've decided we're going to play this week where we have each come up with 3 guesses for cards we think will be banned and 3 guesses for cards we think will be unbanned. Now, I do have to put the asterisk on this that some of these are a little silly. Some of these are just things we want to see. These are not all serious speculations, so take them with a grain of salt. But we're going to go through here. None of us know what each of us have chosen yet. We're each going to list our ideas, talk about them some. We've got Alex sent in some since he's not with us today. And once the banned and restricted list comes out, we're going to compare. And whoever has the most wrong guesses, we're coming up with some type of punishment. We don't know what we're going to do yet, but it'll be something on the cast. And it may be funny. It might be stupid. We'll find out when we get there, I guess.
It's going to be me.
It's going to be funny and stupid. What's wrong with that?
Both. Yeah. That's our new tagline. Funny and stupid. All right. So here we go. I'm going to go ahead and fire us off here. So my phone just turned off. Here we go. So for my bands, I have Blood Moon, Summer Bloom, and Sensei's Divining Top in Legacy.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe we'll see. Legacy, I don't think we're going to see him touch. I have my own thoughts on that, but I threw top on there, so we'll see. So now we're going to go to my unbans. I have Stoneforge Mystic, of course, Sword of the Meek, and Jace the Mind Sculptor.
Jeez, you just want Esper Control that badly.
Yes. So the first two are a little more serious. I will say that I don't think that we're going to see Sword and Stoneforge unbanned, but I'm kind of gaming it here, hoping I get one of the two. So, all right, Jerry, what you got over there?
All right, so for my unbans, Umezawa's Jit, Sword of the Meek, and for Legacy, Earthcraft.
Earthcraft? What does Earthcraft do?
Okay, Earthcraft has been on the list for ever.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Like decade-long cards that just needs to come off the list like World Gorger Dragon did.
Yeah.
Earthcraft is a 2-mana enchantment that says tap a creature you control to untap a basic land you control. The combo with it was turn 2 Earthcraft, turn 3 Squirrel's Nest on a basic land, where you tap the basic land to make a 1-1 sure. Squirrel, tap the squirrel to untap infinite squirrels.
Yeah, infinite squirrels. Got it.
And that's been banned forever, and Enchantress got kicked out of the format when Delver became a deck.
Yeah. Because
Delver just beats Enchantress.
You could come back with some sweet Squirrel Nests.
It needs another angle of attack. Brings the deck back.
Oh, okay. I can dig it. I think that's a fair one. So we'll see if we see. So what you got for band?
As far as bands, I got Amulet of Vigor.
Okay.
Reason being is if you ban Summerbloom, you kill the whole format.
Right.
Or the kill the whole deck, I'm sorry. But the deck still lives without Amulet. Splinter Twin, because the environment, environment that deck creates. And Gristlebrand, because once again, ooh. I don't want turn two combos in my modern world.
Okay, all right, that's pretty spicy. I like where we're going with this.
Okay,
all right, Rob, what you got?
All right, so my ban list. I have Summerbloom. I have Batterskull with an asterisk. I'll get to why. And then I have Amulet of Vigor. Now, the reason I have Summerbloom and Amulet of Vigor, I don't think both of them are going to get banned.
Just game in the system.
But one of them has to get banned. But I see it being more Summerbloom than Amulet because the deck can still exist with Azusa. It's not as quick with Azusa, but it can still be there. And I don't think they want to completely get rid of it, but being able to play three lands per turn and having double Amulet out, we saw it at the last Open.
Yeah.
You can cast four Primeval Titans in one turn.
Yeah.
So, let's get to the unban. I'll immediately get to my asterisk Batterskull, Stoneforge Mystic.
Right, yeah, I don't see where you're going with that. Yeah.
I don't think Stoneforge Mystic and Batterskull can both exist in Modern. Just, I think that would be too much.
And I think it can.
Well, and that's where we differ here. Deathrite Shaman. Chris,
ooh,
I'm with you on this one. Deathrite Shaman, unban.
Okay.
And Mental Misstep.
What?
Okay. That's a spicy one.
Yep, Mental Misstep.
All right, Chris, what you got?
All right, turning the page. We are going to unban...
He's like staring at me while he's saying these.
Green Sun Zenith.
Okay. Ooh. All right.
Ooh. We are going to unban Deathrite Shaman.
What is it with you guys?
And we are going to unban Glimpse of Nature. I will play elves in Modern and Legacy, and I will be happy.
Oh,
Pyroclasm's still there. Anger of the Gods is still there. You can still kill. You can kill whatever I play on turn one or turn two. So I think it's viable. But really, Deathrite Shaman, because you slow down the Snapcaster Mage shenanigans. You slow down the Delve mechanic. You know, you get in the Deathrite Wars. Well, that's what happens.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
Deathrite Shaman locks.
It's pretty spicy.
We are going to ban Blood Moon.
Okay.
All right. I even played Blood Moon at the IQ and fought through it and won. Turn three, Blood Moon. Choke, because I don't think it's fair to ban one and not ban the other. And we're going to ban Splinter Twin.
What?
Because it's just... The best deck you had to fight against it, we took it out of the format, so now it just gets to run rampant. You know, I think it is the exclusive tier one deck. Splinter Twin or Tarmo Twin, anything like that.
Right, some variant.
But we're gonna have elves and modern after,
no.
after
and nothing else.
No. it'll be fair.
You won't get Green Suns because of Infect.
All right, Rob. I want to fight you over
Before we go to this, we got Alex's. Yeah, we've got Alex's up here, so let's read off Alex's.
All right, so here's Alex's guesses. Oh, wow. Okay. Ban, Summerbloom.
Okay.
Yep.
Blood Moon.
Yep.
Okay.
Cranial Plating.
God, I love Alex!
Ooh, okay.
No, those are his bans. His
Cranial Plating is interesting.
It's all viable. I think it's okay.
I love it.
Yeah. His unbans, Stoneforge Mystic.
Okay.
Okay.
Punishing Fire.
Whoa.
Dread Return.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
It's spicy. I like it. We got enough variation here where we should come up with some good winners.
Like Alex, I think Alex really sat down and really put some thought into his list. Me, I just want elves.
Yeah, no, you just put all the Legacy elf pieces in the modern.
No, you don't have Birchlore Rangers. And you have to play the fairy instead to return stuff to your hand.
Yeah, you have to play the fairy.
For two instead of one. Yeah. It's fair.
No, these are pretty good, though. I like Alex's. Alex and I were only off on one on ban, so I can dig that. I like how we're kind of split on Amulet of Vigor and Summerbloom, so that's interesting.
I think I'm one-sided on this. I'm totally cool with Summerbloom still existing, but Amulet, I don't like.
But if we do ban Blood Moon and Choke, we have to ban what was that card you came up with the other day?
Karma.
Karma.
Karma's got
to be. Otherwise, we just kill Eldrazi Control right off the bat.
I watched someone do that, and I laughed so hard, because that is the deepest rare out of 8th edition you can find.
Oh, jeez. All right, so thoughts overall on this, guys.
Okay. I want to fight Rob over this. Stoneforge and Batterskull can't exist in the same format because of one particular card.
Culligan's Command.
What? We got a winner here. Culligan's right. Command is the straight-up answer to that shenanigans, and I think it is fine.
I don't know. I still don't like it. I still don't like the thought of being able to drop your 4/4 Vigilance and Lifelinker at just the whim of tapping your Stoneforge Mystic and then being able to leave mana up to counter.
True, that can happen.
That Culligan's Command. I don't. That's just my thought on it. Just to go along with the little bit more fair of things. And right now, Batterskull. I looked it up to figure out the exact stats on it. It's not seen in a whole lot of your top decks. It's there every once in a while in spatterings, but overall, I think MTG top 8 put it at like 6-point-some-odd%.
It's a somewhat easy ban. I can agree with that. It's not going to hurt a lot of people. Who had Jit? Was that just...
Oh, that was me.
Was you the only one?
Reason being, yeah. Culligan's Command exists.
That's still pretty brutal. Yeah, Jit in Modern brutal, with Stoneforge.
But at least Jit's not Skullclamp.
Yeah.
Okay. The Skullclamp will get immediate value right away. The only value Jit will get post a Culligan's Command, even if it was equipped one time and got combat damage through, is only a slight life gain, which can be relevant.
That's true.
But that's all it's really going to get, because I really believe Culligan's Command is just that powerful of a card that it can deal with that.
I mean, I think that's a big one where people started to see the writing on the wall for... Because was Chris the only one that didn't have Stoneforge Mystic on Unbanned?
Well, I didn't put Stoneforge on Unbanned because it kind of felt obvious.
Okay. Like I think it's going to happen, and...
Yeah, it's funny. It was funny seeing it pop up in Alex's, because Alex was kind of against me on it at first. So if Alex has come around too now, it feels pretty likely, right?
I just don't see Wizards with Modern being almost their new elite format, making it the promo, and either it or sort of the meek not getting unbanned.
I mean, it came out as the promo, so people go, huh, that's kind of odd. Like, obviously, they can support any format of these promos, but... Modern, I mean, Rob just said that the last Modern, that was an Open or GP?
Open.
Open. Just, I mean, over 1,000 people. Like, that's insane. They're pulling in huge numbers. So, they should want to support Modern, so they make this promo. And, like, how crazier can you get with, here's the promo, and now all of a sudden it's unbanned. So, people are going to want that so badly. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And we've seen the price increase so much that obviously a lot of people are betting on unbanned.
Well, and I think it'll come down to, because I mean, look at any promo that's been printed, usually the price ends up dropping, because as your GPs hit, yeah, you flood so many copies.
Yeah, yeah,
into
a ton
the
of
market.
Them go in the wild.
You do flood it, but again, I want to go back to how Gristlebrand was. Before Gristlebrand promo was announced, he was an $80 card. That's our very limited play, mainly Legacy. And then they're like, hey, we're going to make him a promo, and he plummeted in price, but the number of decks, you know, went up, and the plummet was near instant.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm saying it's okay, you know, yeah, because it's going to go up to $40, but I think it's going to drop right off if they unbanned it. Because
we're going to see a really goofy price trajectory on that.
Because so many of them are going to be printed. What is, like, the promo Gristlebrand for the GP was going for as low as $8 to $10 at one point.
Yeah. I mean, it got down there pretty good. But so what we're going to see, though, is it's going to be a while before these cards get out in the wild. Yeah. The thing with Gristlebrand was most people that had it or who needed it had it already. There weren't a lot of people fetching for or like looking out there for them. So now if we unban Stoneforge, it's going to be a four of them. What, two Modern decks, three Modern decks?
Modern fair deck that plays white will play Stoneforge.
And you're going to see control decks come out that are going to be winning off of them. I mean, we're going to see a big resurgence of Stoneforge all of a sudden in Modern, so I think the price is going to stay. I think it's going to go up a lot if it gets unbanned. I think we're seeing 60 to 100.
What I'm worried about is
it's going to come back down.
Jeskai Twin becoming more popular, trying to play with it.
It's going to maintain a price tag kind of under a couple dollars to Snapcaster, because this is both Snapcaster and it have been printed in one set for constructed play. They both got a promo printing. And Stoneforge will be below it because it is a white card and it was printed in an event deck as two copies of.
I think the day after, the day it's announced it's unbanned, it's going to go way up, mm-hmm. and it's going to slowly come back down a little bit as people start to kind of get comfortable with it and figure out what they're actually doing. And then as the year goes on and more promos hit the wild, it's going to settle down. But even then, it's probably still going to be higher than it was before.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's only seeing Legacy play right now, and it's still maintained $20-$22 price tag. So I think that Modern has become such a huge format that what the demand for this card, if it's unbanned, is going to go up 1,000%. I mean, it's going to be an insane, you know, amount of people looking for this card. So I think we're going to see it, like, and even if you're our winner here and it does get unbanned and we ship it out to you, don't feel bad if you move this thing, because it could see some pretty astronomical prices for a while there while people are trying to get their copies to play with before the promos hit the wild.
Sell yours for 110 if you can.
Yeah especially right. if move it finishes it. Up. Like your deck, whatever deck you're trying to finish up to start playing with.
Yeah. Now, if you want to play with them, yeah, keep it, obviously. But, man, I wouldn't fault you at all for it. We would have no hard feelings here. I think we've got a few laying around here with us that are going to be hitting the market if those things spike hard. So we'll see what happens with it. I mean, other than that, for the banned and unbanned list, I mean, the Blood Moon thing is interesting. It's popped up on a few of our lists. I think that it's probably time for Blood Moon to go. I mean, it's not that it's insanely oppressive. It just makes for, like, such bad games.
It creates non-games, and that's something we want to avoid as far as content goes on camera. I mean, Nobody wants to see someone play a Blood Moon and then the other guy just sit there and do nothing while the other guy does everything.
It's the equivalent to if you turned on a golf tournament and someone hit Tiger Woods with a piece of wood in the knee and he went down. Oh, he loses. Like, that's the end of the tournament. Like, you know what I mean?
But the camera keeps going back to him on hole three. Yeah,
and you can really tell by the environment.
I take that back. People would probably watch that like crazy, but after a few years of it, they'd get tired of it.
You can really tell also by the environment. If someone slams a Blood Moon and you already have your shocks on the field, they're just used to you scooping. Because that twin player that slammed it, I was like, I got a natural forest somewhere in here. Like, we'll race to see who hits first. And I mean, when you have a big old boggle swinging at you, you have a lot less of a clock than I do.
Well, it's funny because I've been beaten by very unskilled players with the Blood Moon before. I've also destroyed unskilled players that, you know, they put all their money onto, I'm slamming this Blood Moon. They keep a sketch hand that has, you know, three lands of Blood Moon and nothing mm-hmm. else, and they go for it. I'm like, well, I don't really care right now. Like, I've got a clock, like you said. Like, it's not... But overall, though, it just creates a weird Magic environment, and I don't think it contributes to the game tactically very well. It doesn't make the game more depth. It doesn't make it interesting. It just, like you said, I mean, it creates a non-game.
Yeah,
it's just not.
That's the reason I run it in my sideboard for Goryeo's Vengeance. That's the biggest reason. Some people are like, oh, there's better cards out there. It's like, right, but if I can make my opponent do nothing while I wait to combo,
yeah,
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I did it in Ad Nauseam of all decks last spring. I put it in an Esper deck. That's how non-gamish it creates.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we see Blue Moon, Modern deck that just basically is a blue-red control deck that revolves around Blood Moon,
slam
usually.
Slam a Blood Moon and go for it.
Yeah, it's, you know, mainboarded, and I mean, it's like, that's kind of the whole deck, is I'm just going to stop you.
Like, we've seen a Temur Twin where they, instead of playing Cryptic Commands, they just took out their three Cryptics and curved out into three Blood Moons.
Yeah.
That is a thing that deck does.
But even when you look at the Blue Moon deck, it's popular sometimes. It goes down in popularity. And it's just the meta, like, adjusting to Blood Moon. And then we get used to it being gone, so we all get softer to Blood Moon. Then it pops back up. We get stronger. And it's just not... It creates this weird fluctuation in Modern that doesn't need to exist.
Yes. Right. And that's the biggest thing that goes into why cards get banned.
Yeah.
Is that they're trying to keep the format, and whenever if its first inception came out and that they're gearing up, it was the Pro Tour that first really brought to light Modern, correct? Back in 2011?
Yeah.
And their biggest thing on it was is they wanted it to be one turn slower than Legacy or the old extended format back then. And so instead of the turn threes, they tried to do away with all those with an initial ban list, and then they wanted it to be turn four games.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's... Modern is interesting because it really is sort of the brainchild of Wizards. I mean, it's pretty I don't want to say the word arbitrary, but they could have drawn the line in the sand anywhere they wanted with what sets were being included.
Yep.
They drew it where they chose, and to this day, they've just sort of gone in with scalpels and decided what they're going to do to change the format. So, I mean, it's really interesting because Standard, obviously, they have control over in what they print. and they've shown time and time again that they're very cognizant of what this standard format's going to look like. They play test for the format. They've always typically left Eternal formats alone. Like Legacy, they don't play test for. They don't think about the... They say they don't think about the impact of the cards that they print. But Modern's kind of in this gray area now where you know they have to be thinking about it. It's a huge cash cow for them all of a sudden. I mean, it's a huge format. People love it. So now they have the opportunity to go through and pick and choose how they want it to play out. So, I mean, Birthing Pod, I think, was the last big one that we saw where a deck just gone.
Yeah, there was that. And then, of course, the Treasure Cruise Dig Through Time banning.
That's true. That hit Delver pretty hard.
Yeah, Delver and Storm.
Yeah. And, I mean, but see, I guess that banning, though, we hit a few decks. It was kind of splash damage on a few, whereas...
Birthing Pod specifically went after targeted. That one deck.
Yeah, so, I mean, you saw it was the mid-range deck to play. I mean, Jerry talks about this constantly.
There were no others. There was no particular reason to not play Birthing Pod and to be able to toolbox through your entire deck at no cost, little to no cost to you, versus trying to play Jund and hoping you draw better cards.
Yeah, so you see this deck that it shuts out all the other mid-range strategies because they don't really, like you said, it's so powerful, why would you play the others? And then it also had a really adverse effect on all the other decks. They had to answer Birthing Pod, you had to be ready for it, it was in the back of your mind constantly. So they go in, they decide, okay, we're going to scrap Birthing Pod, and we've seen the format, like, it's a lot healthier since then.
Yeah, very healthy.
I mean, the top eights that we see have decks all over the place, so overall, like, I know players were bummed out, but... I mean, hats off to Wizards, right? I mean, I think that was a good call. In hindsight now, they get the huge thumbs up on, you know, Modern looks totally different now. There's tons of decks available. So Splinter Twin, I know, popped up on some lists. Splinter Twin's really hard because it's kind of in that same area. It's definitely not quite.
You can still run Kijiki, except with one of the most common forms of removal, Lightning Bolt, you can interrupt it.
Yeah.
So the twin-like effect is still there. You just offer more interaction with Lightning Bolts or Paths. I think it'd be healthier.
See, my problem with Splinter Twin, as the deck is concerned, is all other combo decks in Modern all have... The deck is dedicated to the combo. Ad Nauseam, Storm, Grishulbrand, yes. Hulk Footsteps... If you know these decks...
Even
you know,
Scapeshift to a degree. Scapeshift the way you do your mana base. Like
they're obvious how dedicated you are. Twin just fits into any control shell. That is where my problem is. It shouldn't exist where they just have an instant win button in a control list. That just doesn't seem fair to me. And because that possible instant win exists, you can play a blue-red X control deck and not play Twin... And your opponent's got to play, they got Twin.
Yeah, the fear of Twin exists constantly in anything that runs blue and red. I mean, and it has the same effect that Birthing Pod decks had where you can't really play any other control strategies. Trust me, I've tried. Like, you're pretty much just wrong if you're not playing Twin. I've been jamming Scapeshift for a while, and I'll always admit that Twin is a more powerful deck. Because, like you said, it's this fear of, like, I mean, we've seen games where Twin is, they've answered all the Twin players' things, they've destroyed their board state, they're down to four lands, they draw one card, it's a Deceiver Exarch, they flash it in, end of turn, and then there it is, Twin off the top.
Happens so much.
Yeah, happens on camera all the time. I mean, it's just, it is what it is, but like, it's just, like you said, it doesn't make for a healthy game, because, and it's a shame because I like the deck. I really do like the deck. I've played it a little bit, Grixis particularly, and like it's a fun deck to play. It's interesting, but I think that those pieces will still obviously exist. If you pull Splinter Twin and Deceiver Exarch out of those blue-red lists, what are they going to evolve into? Probably American Control, Esper Control. Like, you're going to have control lists that come out of
it. Well, Grixis Control already exists without the Splinter Twin. We know this list. This is a super strong control list. The first one in many years that doesn't involve a Splinter Twin.
Yeah.
So this is a super playable deck. So we're not killing control altogether.
No.
We're killing
letting control. Letting it flourish, really. I mean, you can take it more directions now. Yeah, you're opening the doors for it. So, I don't know. I'm really on the fence about Splinter Twin. I don't think it's going to go.
Me neither.
I don't think it's going to leave, but I think Kiki Jiki is a better...
I don't think we're going to see Splinter Twin banned in a long time. And the biggest reason is because Wizards also has this issue of we can't get ban happy with cards either. These are expensive decks. You know what I mean? So you can't establish a format where, like, a lot of players were burned by the Birthing Pod ban. A lot of people lost money on that. A lot of people lost the will to play Modern out of that. It sucks. You can't get too heavy-handed with bannings, because then it makes for maybe a really healthy format, but a very scary environment where you don't want to invest in things. So I think the Bloom Titan is the one that they're going to hit this time. I don't know which card for sure.
Yeah, doesn't it have the capability for turn one with the Nuts draw?
That's only if they're running Simeon Spirit Guide. But yes, it does have the ability for a turn one Titan.
So that's fully justified.
And turn two, like, is very possible, right? With the stock list, no Simeon Spirit Guide?
Yep. We saw a Maul to five. This is on camera, a Maul to five. And on turn three, I think he still had two or three Titans on the field.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the guy ended up going to win. He won the Cincinnati Open. But just seeing plays like that, seeing plays where he's casting four Bloom Titan in one turn, or he's casting a Titan remand, all right, I'm going to cast it again in the same turn. It's just, it gets to that unhealthy point that we keep bringing up. And it's really the biggest thing that Wizards tries to do, is they try to keep it a good, healthy format. And going to Twin, and maybe it's just the deck choices that I have, but I feel I have too many answers for it. So having, like, the Nature's Claims in there to blow up the enchantment, having Spellskite, having other spells out there to counteract the Twin, that's why I feel like Splinter Twin will not get the ban.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree. I think that Bloom Titan is playing against it, man. It's an annoying deck to play against, because you have these weird instances where you're like, all right, my opening hand has a path in it. I think I'm good to go. He goes to go off. You get his Bloom Titan, or you get the Titan off the field. Okay, cool. Next turn, he's going off again. You're like, what is going on here? Like, it's so hard to have enough answers that when that deck really starts to have its way with you, it's really not, like, it's so hard to prevent.
It even grinds through control.
And sometimes the path just isn't enough when they just have the Pact of Negation in their hand.
Yeah.
Right, that or their alternate win con, which is turn two Hive Mind, followed up by a Summoner's Pact or a Summoner's Pact and Pact of Negation.
Yeah, I think three times now in my life I've been playing Modern at a fairly, like, mid to high level event, and sitting next to me is some poor player getting Hive Mind for the first time, and it always is just the most, like, feel bad moment of him reading, like, okay, so we both cast this card, okay, start my turn, upkeep, oh, I have to pay for that, oh, I lose, okay, good game. Yep. Like, it's just like, man, poor guy. Like,
upkeep Angel's Grace.
Yeah, there you go. But so, I mean, I think that that's going to be the one that we see them go after. Also, for players who are a little newer to this and don't have as much familiarity with it, they love to do Modern bannings before the Modern Pro Tour. Shakes Absolutely. The format up. The pros all have to, like, realign now. You can guarantee that all the pros going to the Pro Tour right now are jamming list based on if this gets banned or if this gets banned instead or if this gets... I'm sure they all have Stoneforge Mystic lists already built just in case. I mean, so it's exciting. It makes for a good Pro Tour because now we get to see the pros shape the format in the new Wild Wild West.
I'm really excited. I want to see what Seth Manfield plays.
You excited for his Elves deck that he's going to play?
Yeah, he's going to play Elves. But if you remember when Atarka's Command got printed, because the Pro Tour before that, he had top eighted with Burn. If you guys remember, I was messaging him on Facebook about is Atarka's Command and auto include, and he's like, no. And now you look, and it's in every Burn deck out there.
So you're just looking to get Seth Manfield.
Well, no, I want to see if he's going to play Burn again, or if they're going to put him on it, and if he's going to mulligan to something else last minute.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be interesting.
He won the last Pro Tour, I think it was, for Standard.
I'm not sure. We'll have to check on that.
I'm pretty sure he won.
But this is my biggest prediction here. If Stoneforge comes off the ban list and we don't see Batterskull get banned, I don't think we're going to see very much Burn at all at the Pro Tour, just because of Stoneforge into Batterskull.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's enough time to test the matchup to see how bad it hoses you. I'm sure there'll be some players that still play Burn. I mean, it's not going to be completely gone.
Just thinking about it, it's really the do I have the Searing Blaze is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And you have to have it that turn, because if not, next turn Batterskull sit in the field and you're done.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to wreck face pretty good. I mean, I've seen Burn fight through Batterskull before, but usually Batterskull is a one-of that may pop up.
Deflecting Palm.
Deflecting Palm.
Maybe there's a strong possibility that, say, Batterskull still is. It could very much look like the old standard format where Exarch Twin Blade, where people were stoneforging for Batterskulls. Mono Red was still an extremely powerful list because they were on Shrine of Burning Rage as a way to fight around the Batterskull. Because Shrine of Burning Rage had a better grinding clock than Batterskull ever could.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could see that. And like I said, I think in the long term of the format, I think Burn would be okay with it. I just think that there might not be enough time to test lists and be confident in
Burn. Yeah, Burn's really strong right now. So if something came out that fought it a little bit more, I could be okay with it. I just already think there's a lot of hate to Burn.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Burn life, right?
Like, yeah. Like, you win big or you lose. Yeah, like, you're like, why do I even play this deck? Yeah.
The counter argument to that, though, is that just in the spoilers, this new set, Oath, there's now not one, but two cards that slot super well into the modern Burn list that fights most of the hate.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, now they're printing it. And I mean, yeah, I think Burn will be fine. And Burn's one that's got to be hard for R&D because if you make Burn too powerful, then you've messed up. Now everybody's playing Burn and that's horrible. But if you make it too weak, now it can't be viable. I mean, so it's tricky.
I just don't think they can ever, you know, they're not going to print any more 1-mana 3-damage spells with different names. Like, if they do, they'll just be reprints. Like, you never know. You might see a Bump in the Night reprint in Shadows, but you'll never see another alternately named card.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I agree there. But yeah, so I mean, overall though, I think the funniest thing I couldn't help but to think of is if we do this contest and then Monday rolls around and it's just no changes.
Like, oh, that'd be so sad.
That was just pretty hard.
I think I win then.
I think everybody loses in that scenario.
Yeah.
But nah, so I don't think it's going to happen. I think that they kind of backed off of bannings a little bit after Birthing Pod. Not because they were wrong, just because, you know, you got to get the public
feeling. Yeah, there was quite an outrage with that, too.
Yeah, that was rough. I mean, it killed the deck, so it's going to happen. I mean, people try to play this, like, Podless Pod, and it's fine, but it's not Birthing Pod.
It's, by the stretch of the imagination.
So, I mean, yeah. So, I think they've kind of backed off for a while, but, yeah, I think we're going to see Bloom Titan go. That should shake the meta up pretty good for the Pro Tour. I could see that. If they ban Bloom Titan and bring in Stoneforge, that'd be pretty sweet. I'd be really excited to watch the Pro Tour, that's for sure.
I'd be stoked to try Abzan again.
Yeah, holy cow. Yeah, Stoneforge, man. Oh, it just fits in so many decks so well. Oh, man. I hope we see it come off. I think it's going to be good for the format. I think it's a time where, I mean, we've talked about Culligan's Command already, but that card just, it almost feels like they're like, hey, we should unban Stoneforge Mystic. Well, there's nothing to answer to it. Let's print something that answers it real quick, and then we'll get around to it.
Culligan's Command is the card that does
it. It's so perfect. Yeah, I mean, just because, yeah, for anybody who's unfamiliar with Culligan's Command, it kills the Stoneforge Mystic and destroys the artifact it put into play. So, boom, there you go. 3 mana. Easy peasy. Grixis is such a popular color combination right now that there's going to be plenty of them floating around, and it should bring a good sort of balance to Stoneforge Mystic. And that's before anyone adjusts decks. You know what I mean? Like, that's one that already exists. So we'll probably see maybe more artifact hate in sideboard. There's already tons of it because of affinity. So Bolt kills Stoneforge. I mean, it really just doesn't seem like it's that bad of a card to unban. Makes sense. I can't think of anything really broken you can do with it.
Nah, it would feel good just to have more unbans. That, you know, if they could just not ban anything and just slowly continue unbanning what they feel is fair, that would be fantastic. That's good. That means they're doing something right with Modern.
That would kind of be my preferred route. I think that there's a lot of things. I mean, I know Jace the Mind Sculptor of mine was kind of a joke. I don't think they'd ever unban it and Stoneforge at the same time, but I think it's another card that it wouldn't be terribly unhealthy for the format.
If they ever unban Jace the Mind Sculptor, Bloodbraid would come right alongside it.
Yeah.
The ultimate answer to each other.
Yeah, I mean, there's just... I kind of agree with you in the sense of I almost want to see everything unbanned and then start from there fresh. Because there are definitely some things, but I think they may have gotten heavy-handed at the beginning of the format, and I understand why. You wanted to promote it as a new format at the time. It could have died in the water very quickly if they weren't careful with the ban list. But now, it's established. It's a powerhouse. People love Modern. So let's really see what we can do in this format. But we are getting close to time here. You guys have any last thoughts before we get out of this?
No.
Just crickets?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, so that'll do it for us this week. Again, we've got the contest up, so get up there. Tell us what you think about Stoneforge Mystic. And feel free to leave thoughts on other cards, too, if you think other things are going to get banned, unbanned. It won't factor into the contest, but maybe it will. Who knows? Maybe we'll really like your opinions on a bunch of cards, so we'll pick you. So, you know, throw in some other thoughts on there, too. We really just want to open up discussion about this because I think that this is probably going to be the most likely ban and restricted announcement where we see some good shakeups for a while. So if they're going to do it, they should do it now. So that should be a good time. Other than that, you know, like always, feedback. We love it. If you found us through MTGcast, please navigate to our website, thesnapcast.com, or over to our Facebook page. Facebook page has been popping lately. I love it. I love seeing all the interactions between people, so that's awesome. Rob actually ran into someone that recognized us from MTGcast while he was at the Open, so that was pretty sweet. The word is spreading. So if you have friends that like podcasts, spread the word for them. I mean, we're really, at this point, trying to build up our listener base just so that way we can get to do bigger and better things. But that'll do it for this week. Oh, what you got, Rob?
Also, to keep an eye out on Facebook, we've started going on Twitch. I did the first Twitch stream. It was great. We had a small viewers. I think we capped out at about 40 or 50. Chris was there. Alex was there. It was a great time. They were making fun of me the entire time as I was just getting...
It was all in good fun.
Yeah, it was great. But check us out, twitch.tv/thesnapcast. We're going to try to get a weekly schedule up. Also, too, we kind of posted it before, and we have a lot of cards, and we're not using them all. So one way you could help kind of support us is purchasing them from tcgplayer.com. We have a link on our website at thesnapcast.com. Just go down, click to it, and check it out. If there's anything you like, let us know. We always do our best to undercut the competition.
Nice. So Rob just messed up, and I think he's on announcement duties now forever because he's doing it way better than me. But all right, that's going to wrap it up for us this week. As always, have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Oh, snap.